Have you ever noticed how death has a way of clarifying what truly matters? Frank Ostasevsky certainly has. After sitting with thousands of dying people over 30 years as a hospice worker and Buddhist teacher, he discovered something remarkable. Our greatest fear can become our greatest teacher. Death isn't waiting for us at the end of a long road. It exists in every moment as our secret guide to living fully. When we embrace this truth, we stop postponing our lives. Consider Jack, a 45-year-old former heroin addict diagnosed with terminal lung cancer. His poignant regret says it all. "I always thought there would be time later. Now I realize I've been putting off living for a long time." This realization that all things inevitably end can wake us from our sleepwalk through life. Impermanence isn't just about loss, it's the foundation of renewal. Without it, illnesses wouldn't end, children couldn't grow, dictatorships couldn't fall. Our attempts to arrange perfect, unchanging conditions always fail. Even perfect moments, like lying warm in bed on a winter morning, inevitably change. We become like hungry ghosts, constantly seeking the next satisfying experience, creating habits of craving that become obstacles to peace when dying. Imagine walking through a hospital as Brahms's lullaby plays, signaling a birth. People pause and smile, reminded of life's potential amid suffering. This embodies hope. Not wishful thinking tied to outcomes, but an orientation of heart grounded in basic goodness. Fred discovered this at his wife Rachel's hospice. After futilely feeding her watermelons hoping to cure her cancer, his perspective transformed. "I hope to love her with my whole heart, to make sure she knows how blessed my life has been." Mature hope combines clear intention with letting go. Approaching difficulties with receptivity creates options. Lorenzo, a homeless man with terminal cancer, arrived at Zen Hospice suicidal and hostile. Through acceptance, he found unexpected peace. Discussing assisted suicide allowed him to express his deepest fears. Before dying, Lorenzo shared he was happier than ever, finding joy in the coolness of the breeze and the softness of the sheets. In this non-judgmental atmosphere, he learned to be present with his experience rather than fighting it, a fundamental quality of an awake mind. Pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. It stems from our relationship to pain. When we resist pain, we create suffering. Pain plus resistance equals suffering. Like approaching a falling telephone pole rather than fleeing, moving toward our pain helps us respond wisely. After Ostasevsky's heart attack, a Tibetan Buddhist teacher told him, "It's good to have a heart, and if we have one, we should expect it will have problems." This acceptance helped him relax. Jamie's family demonstrated this approach when their 7-year-old died of cancer. Instead of turning away, they bathed their child with herbs and flowers, sharing stories and stepping away when overwhelmed. By facing unimaginable pain without pretense, they found healing in their care for each other and in accepting death as part of life. There is no letting go until there is letting in. What pain are you running from? How might turning toward it transform your relationship with suffering? When 16-year-old Jasmine with spina bifida leapt from the pool into her teacher's arms, Ostasevsky realized we're rescued by love flowing through us, not toward us, revealing love as an internal resource in difficult times. Similarly, Carl, battling stomach cancer, found rest in love as an effective meditation when traditional methods failed. The key distinction, attachment demands conditions, while true love emphasizes generosity. In caregiving, we often project curated versions of ourselves, displaying confidence while hiding vulnerability. Yet these undesirable qualities often create bridges to genuine connection. When Ostasevsky cared for his friend John dying of AIDS, he hid behind his Mr. Hospice role until John observed, "You're trying too hard." Ostasevsky's subsequent breakdown revealed their deepest connection emerged not from competent caregiving, but shared vulnerability. By bringing our whole selves, doubts, fears, and imperfections included, we create space for others to do the same. Rest isn't a destination, but an ever-present reality within us, an unchanging aspect of consciousness we need only redirect our attention to access. Consider 86-year-old Adele at Zen Hospice, who, when guided to focus on the pause between exhales while facing terminal illness, transformed fear into profound serenity that accompanied her final moments. Most of us treat rest as another to-do item, trapped in time-scarcity mentality. True rest isn't about doing, it's recognizing the awareness already within. Asta Seski's night dive in Indonesia offers a perfect metaphor. Experiencing profound stillness on the dark ocean floor while maintaining connection to this peace even while ascending through a violent storm. This illustrates the mind's layers: surface turbulence, daily anxieties, middle waters, deeper emotions, and bottom-level serenity, always present regardless of surface conditions. By accessing this inner stillness, we become living embodiments of peace for others. Death invites us into transformation, a profound internal shift, dissolving our limiting boundaries. Like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, we become almost unrecognizable to our former selves. Xu Li, dying of cancer, noted, "Living with the uncertainty of my illness has prepared me for death. Most people fear death because they don't know how to be with the unknown." We don't just observe mystery, we are mystery. At Zen Hospice, a woman named Sono arrived to die the way I need to die, leaving this poem. "Don't just stand there with your hair turning gray. Soon enough, the seas will sink your little island. Set out for another shore. Don't be afraid. Someone knows you're coming." The five invitations call us to transformation. Don't wait. Welcome everything. Bring your whole self. Find rest in the middle of things. And cultivate don't-know mind. Through them, death becomes life's teacher, revealing what matters most. What would change if you lived as though you were dying? Because you are. The five invitations transform our relationship with both living and dying. Don't wait reminds us that life is precious and uncertain. We must engage fully now rather than postponing what matters, as Jack regretted putting off living. Welcome everything, push away nothing, teaches receptivity over resistance, like Lorenzo finding joy in the coolness of the breeze amid suffering. Bring your whole self to the experience, values authenticity over performance, as Asta Seski learned with his friend John that our deepest connections emerge from shared vulnerability. Find rest in the middle of things shows that peace exists within regardless of circumstances, like Adele finding serenity between breaths. Cultivate don't-know mind invites us into mystery beyond conceptual understanding. As Sano's death poem suggests, we set out for another shore with trust rather than certainty. These practices are essential for anyone seeking to live with awareness, compassion, and meaning.